You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Richard Kaufman, Paul Eales and Matt Adams.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Francesco Molinari secures a first major title with a dramatic victory at the 147th Open Championship.
Rolls it forward and in it goes. Listen to that roar and a punch of the air from Francesco Molinari. What a performance. What a performance. 8 under par.
The lead changed hands multiple times on what was a crazy afternoon at Carnoustie.
Eagle for Rory, a punch of the air. What a putt from Rory. Unbelievable.
And at one stage, major number 15 was very much in this man's sights.
In it goes. That's Tiger Woods. That is Tiger Woods. What a roar for Tiger.
We'll look back at a stunning final round on the east coast of Scotland. Plus, we'll also preview the next event, the Porsche European Open. Hello, I'm Richard Kaufman, and I'm joined by Paul Eales and American broadcaster Matt Adams to look back at a fantastic final day, which ended with Francesco Molinari being crowned as the champion golfer of the year. We had the lead changing hands multiple times. We had players having to tough out the toughest conditions of the week on one of the toughest courses on the Open Championship rota. We had a three-way tie overnight, of course, with Xander Schauffele and with Kevin Kisner being joined by Jordan Spieth at the top. And in the end, neither of that trio emerged as the champion overall. First of all, Paul Eales, we cannot be disappointed. Sometimes things can be anticlimactic, but you can't say Sunday at Carnoustie was anything near that.
No. Everything seemed to come together, didn't it? We had different weather, certainly for three of the days. The fast, hard-running course on Thursday. Then we had some rain and wind come Friday. And then, of course, yesterday, Saturday, it was perfect for scoring. The pins were there for the taking. And the best players in the world showed us how you can play this golf course. And then today, the test of the wind again. So we had the lot. Congratulations to the RNA for setting the golf course up or just letting it be. And the players, the best players in the world, showed us all their great skills.
And Matt, an atmosphere, a fantastic atmosphere out on the course. Of course, the fans were treated to fantastic golf, but the whole setting and the whole atmosphere around Carnoustie was just superb.
It was superb. When you think about the history of this property and you think about the great champions that have emerged here at Carnoustie, the fans came out in droves. There were so many people here enjoying the action with record numbers in the practice rounds. And then, as Paul was just pointing out, you basically had four different golf courses. You had one that was so hard and so fast that the players were having trouble judging how much release the golf ball was going to have, both in the fairway and coming into the greens. Then on Friday, we had so much rain that the golf course very quickly started to soften up and slow up. On Saturday, it was the opportunity for scoring, and man, did we see it. They call it moving day, but it was more about conditions than it was philosophy. And then today, we had the winds that make Carnoustie what it is. I just thought it was an absolutely fabulous Open.
It was, and so much to look back on. But let's do it with some of your commentary, shall we? Here's the story of a truly remarkable final round on the links of Carnoustie.
From Tiger Woods. He's on the march.
Yes, and Tiger Woods, another birdie for today. Things are heating up here.
Jordan Spieth will drop to 6 under par.
Tiger Woods will make a double bogey on 11 and he'll move back to 5 under par for the championship.
Eagle for Rory, a punch of the air. What a putt from Rory. Unbelievable.
He's in a share of the lead now, Rory McIlroy. Let's tell you, it's a six-way tie.
Never any doubt. Into the hole from Francesco Molinari, and he leads the Open Championship.
Great, great golf shot there by Molinari, and he's actually got it inside Tiger Woods to about 5 or 6 feet from the hole.
Rolls it forward, and in it goes. Listen to that roar. And a punch of the air from Francesco Molinari. What a performance. What a performance. 8 under par.
And amazing, amazing memories already, aren't they? Tommy Armour in 1931, Henry Cotton in 1937, Ben Hogan in 1953. 50 years ago, of course, it was Gary Player's turn at Carnoustie. Tom Watson in 1975, Paul Laurie in 1999. 2007, Padraig Harrington, now add Francesco Molinari to winners at Carnoustie at the Open Championship. And, of course, he becomes the first Italian winner of this great championship, the oldest of them all. But there were so many more players part of this story other than Francesco. Of course, we're going to concentrate on him. But hearing that back, Paul Eales, the day just flew by, didn't it? And you just weren't certain until the last minutes which way this one was headed.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. Matty and I were out there with the final group and, you know, once we'd hit the sort of the roadblocks midway through that front nine, we could hear the story evolving, everybody catching up. We were in reverse. It was so, so exciting. Every turn, Rory's eagle, then Tiger was in there. And, you know, even to the very last shot of our match where Xander could have holed from 136 yards to tie, it really did have everything. An amazing Open Championship.
Of course, Francesco Molinari was in the third last group with Tiger Woods. Kevin Chappell was with Kevin Kisner. You guys were with Xander Schauffele and Jordan Spieth. You're aware of what's going on, of course, because you're listening to the other commentary going on. You can hear the roars that are going on. It must be hard for the players to be able to focus on what they're doing with, and not really necessarily react to what else is going on beyond them.
Well, the interesting thing is that the way the RNA sets up the Open is that there are these incredible digital scoreboards everywhere. And at times, I was thinking about this when we were out at the ninth, and there was this huge digital scoreboard that Jordan was staring right at as he had a birdie putt there. So they know what's going on. Not only do they know by what they see before them, but it's a links course. So the sound was carrying over the dunes throughout and around the golf course. I would actually liken the day and the emotions of it, particularly as we were, our group was finishing through nine and coming around the turn, Paul, that it almost felt like a Formula One race. It was just changes in leads, and then there was this huge scream, and like I said, Rory would do something. The power of it that was out there and the excitement of it, and I suspect, Richard, you had to feel it in the commentary box as well, as things were changing so fast, and all of these big stars were doing big things.
Right, I noted down a few things. First of all, Eddie Pepper at 3:30 in the afternoon, which is some 4 hours before Francesco Molinari finished, posted a target of 5 under par after a best of the day 67. Then I've written down 16-19. That's when Tiger Woods went into a share of the lead for the very first time, and he was up there in the lead on his own or in a share of the lead for 45 minutes. Then, of course, everyone started joining the party. Justin Rose almost made an albatross at 14, hit the flag and bounced out, knocked it in for an eagle. And suddenly from nowhere, he was there. We heard in that commentary from Gordon Brand Jr., Rory McIlroy suddenly was in a share of the lead. And it was a 5-way tie, 6-way tie. It was incredible. And then, of course, it was the Italian that emerged. The man who'd been steadiest of everyone, 13 straight pars, 2 putts for a birdie at 14. And then, Paul, played the 18th. In magnificent manner. Brilliant drive down the right-hand side, which opened up the green, stuck a wedge into 4 feet or so, and then rolled in the putt that ultimately meant he was the Open champion.
Yeah, and Matty and I were actually stood on the front of the 17th tee watching Xander, who'd hit an amazing tee shot at the 261-yard par 3 16th, and he had, well, inside 20 feet for a 2 to go to -7 at that point, whilst just merely 50 yards across to the left, Francesco was playing his approach shot into 18. So it was an amazing scene, Matty, wasn't it? A brilliant scene.
Yeah, and it speaks to Carnoustie and how unique this golf course is, because you've got the 16th green, then you've got the 17th tee, and then wrapping around to its left is the 18th fairway. And all of this was going on at the same time. And if you think we're excited about it, think about the people that were there on site or the people that were watching it by massive numbers around the globe, because they were feeling the same thing.
Well, let's hear from the Italian now, Francesco Molinari, after he got his hands on the coveted claret jug.
And with a score of 276, the winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year is Francesco Molinari.
It's incredible to stand here between all these people, and there's a lot of people I should thank. First of all, my family for the support they give me when I travel around the world. My wife is a really, really big part of the team, and all my family back home in Italy. Obviously, congratulations to the runner-ups as well. It's been a tough fight. There's only one winner, unfortunately, in golf, and this time it's me, but they play great golf, and congratulations to them.
Well, congratulations to the campione, who is Francesco Molinari. Of course, go back to Costantino Rocca missing out in the playoff to John Daly. And just think back about how this man from Milan went bogey-free over 36 holes over this weekend at Carnoustie. A feat in itself. Coming into this Open Championship, he'd only had three top tens in 36 major starts. I think I'm fair in saying that this is a guy who hasn't always had the self-belief that his talents should allow him to have. However, the last few months, I think that maybe has changed, which has allowed him to produce this kind of golf.
Yeah, that could. Sometimes it takes people longer to get used to being in the white hot spotlight. You know, we're so used to seeing players come out now, and at 21 and 22 and 23 and 24, they're contending for and winning these huge events. Maybe it took him more time. I'll give you an example of what we're talking about. Here he is playing alongside of Tiger Woods. And in winning this major, he was the first one to play alongside of Tiger Woods and then win a major championship since Y.E. Yang in 2009. It is not easy to do with all of the aura, especially when Tiger is knocking on the lead. He's 35 years old. He came in 15th, ranked 15th in the world.
By the way, he's gone to number six now.
He's projected to be number six in the world, which is absolutely amazing. But when you look at his average age, 35, and his average, because he's 15th in the world coming in, the average age of the last six Open champions combined is just over 35. Their average ranking, just under 15th in the world. So I think what we're seeing is almost a throwback to the days when we used to say that a golfer hits his stride in his early to mid-30s, and that's exactly what we're seeing in Francesco Molinari.
The last five majors, Paul, had been won by Americans. For Thomas Bjorn and the European Ryder Cup team, I know this is an individual win for Francesco, but it's a big boost to European golf and their Ryder Cup prospects.
Yes, it's a huge boost, but I think with Francesco's form of late, finishing runner-up in the Italian, winning the BMW at Wentworth, going across to America, winning over there, finishing runner-up the following, he was the hottest golfer on the planet coming into this week, no question. So in terms of Ryder Cup, he was probably already in. But he mentioned his team around him, of course, his family and back home. But long-term coach Dennis Pugh, who's worked on that beautiful golf swing of his with him. He's got Phil Kenyon working on the putting, and we've seen year upon year that that's got more and more dependable. And then, of course, now he's brought in Dave Allred, who is a performance coach. So they've been looking at his mindset, what he's been thinking, how he's been practicing. And all this has come, and it's a perfect storm. And 36 holes round here in an open, no bogeys, is mind-blowing.
Winning scores 8 under par, so still we haven't had a double-digit score in terms of a winning score at the Open at Carnoustie. I don't know about you, guys, but I feel that victory at Tiger's tournament, of course, today he's played alongside Tiger, a guy he's played alongside before, yep, at a couple of Ryder Cups in singles matches as well. That win for him on the PGA Tour, I do feel self-belief, self-confidence is vital to produce that kind of performance. And I just think that was the boost he needed at just the right time before heading into this major.
Well, this is his third win in six worldwide starts. So I think the BMW PGA Championship was probably a similar boost for him. But yeah, winning Tiger's event at Quicken Loans, which, as you guys might recall, Tiger came up to him later on and said, "How did you do it?" Because he blew the field away. "How did you do it? What did you have for dinner last night?" And Francesco Molinari said, "Pasta. Pasta is the secret."
Well, whatever the secret is, some good golf hops. Paul, you wanted to just say something?
Yeah, I just think he's been working with Dave Allred, and the mindset, he's just been going through his processes. So that's all he's been concentrating on, process, process, process. Let the results take care of themselves. So he was unflappable. Ron said that. you know, whatever Tiger did, whatever was happening around him, he just did what Francesco was going to do.
Well, it's worth mentioning, too, you know, the impression of him as the champion golfer of the year, the takeaway people will have is that he played the final round, if not at least the two final rounds, in an almost Hogan-like-esque way, where you hit it in the fairway, you hit it on the green, and you two-putt. He was fifth in the field in scrambling. And that's one of those stats that kind of gets lost in there. And I wanted to find out where he was, because what I was wondering about was, when he got in trouble, did he get up and down and did he save par? Because, as you know, Ilzy, I think that at the end of the day, those par saves are as important as birdies, in fairness.
Sure. The mistakes you don't make, isn't it? And he tied it up great, kept the momentum going, but didn't let other things affect him. He kept doing what he does.
And he won't forget Carnoustie in a hurry, will he? He made his major debut here in 2007, and now he becomes Italy's first ever major champion thanks to his performance over these 4 days at these Angus links by the North Sea. Congratulations to Francesco Molinari, and I suppose commiserations to those that came oh so close. To remind you, Francesco finished with a round of 69 to finish at 8 under par. He won by 2 shots ahead of Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy, Kevin Kisner and Xander Schauffele. All these guys will look back at moments. You can't help but look at Rory McIlroy as an example, Matt, as someone who will look at some of the shots that maybe slipped by that could have had him at least alongside Francesco at 8 under par.
You know, Rory is such a popular player that it's almost forensic with the way that people analyze everything that he does and go into every round that he had. Rory still was right there. Yeah, we can get into what he didn't do on the putting green or what have you, but Rory McIlroy did what Rory McIlroy does, and that is that he contended in yet another major, and he provided us with a lot of excitement along the way.
He did. He did. He's had 4 major wins, let's not forget, and he has finished runner-up, but maybe there's a feeling of what could have been. Let's hear from the man himself, then, the, of course, 2014 Open champion, Rory McIlroy, who, as we've been saying, frustratingly just fell short.
You know, I had a chance on the last hole to get to 7 under par. But it would have been one short anyway. You know, Francesco played those last few really, really well. And, you know, I think, you know, he fully deserves it. He's went out there, he shot a couple under par in one of the, you know, last couple of groups. And, you know, I thought it was going to be around 9 or 10 was going to be the number. It looks like 8's going to be the number. But I'm really happy with how I played.
Yeah, I mean, he's happy with what he's played. Obviously can't be delighted. He wanted to take that claret jug pull with him to Portrush for the 2019 Open Championship. He came mighty close, though. But you just think about those short putts that he missed. You know, everyone can go back and look at things that maybe they could have done better. But Rory just seemed to be, to me, just so close to within touching distance himself of getting hold of that claret jug.
Yeah, you can't be critical of Rory in any way. He went out to win the Open Golf Championship. The way he took a driver, the way he played the golf course, he took it on. Yes, he made some mistakes. It wasn't his time. But he is so exciting for the game of golf, the way he plays. He's like Tiger. He's starting now to, you know, people are turning up to events to watch him play and to watch him hit a golf ball. And, you know, he's still young, isn't he?
So he's 29, yeah.
29. So, and what Maddie said, the average age was 35 of the last few champions. So, you know, Rory's going to contend again and again and again with that golf game.
When you think about the fact that he was trying to win his 5th major championship, and those who have won 5 major championships under the age of 30 have only been 3 in the history of the game. It's Bobby Jones, it's Jack Nicklaus, and it's Tiger Woods. So Rory, yeah, he's working on whatever he's working on, but he's doing fine.
He had won 4 by 25, though. So, I mean, that's what, you know, that's the yardstick that he had set. So we're kind of living by his standards in terms of how we appraise his efforts. But he's finished tied 2nd. I suppose the man who, in a way, came closest to denying Francesco Molinari, you guys were watching, Xander Schauffele, had to hold his 2nd to the 18th. And if he would have done so, of course, he'd have got to 8 under par, and he hit it right at the flag, unfortunately, about 15 feet short or so, and then didn't make the birdie putt for outright 2nd. So I suppose a case of so near yet so far for the 24-year-old American. Here's what he made of his efforts today.
You know, proud that I hung in there. You know, Jordan and I found some weird spots on the golf course early and we were feeding off each other in a poor way. And, you know, I was just happy to give myself a chance. You know, Francesco played great. Once I saw the -8 when I was on 17, you know, I had a 20-footer for par. I was like, oh boy, he played some good golf coming in. So hats off to him. It's everything that I honestly thought, dreamt of and thought of. You know, you feel like you're calm and in control, and all of a sudden you're back's against the wall and something crazy and bad's happening. So it was a lot of fun, and I'm just happy that I gave myself a chance coming down the stretch.
I'm a big fan of Xander. I mean, I hadn't really known much of him until last year's US Open, when he emerged there as a major challenger. Here he is emerging as an open challenger for the very first time. And, you know, he had a really sticky patch. You guys were out there on that front nine, and I thought that's him done, but he came back. He showed some real guts there.
Yeah, he ended up finishing one under on the back nine after that, as you said, that sticky patch. He had a bogey at 5, a bogey at 6, and a double at 7. But he hung in there. And here's the thing that's interesting. Officially, historically, yes, the moniker is going to be that this, at tied for second, was his best finish in a major championship. Ilzy, last year, it was only 2017 when he was Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour. He's 24 years old. This is an incredible ascent that we're seeing from a player that's already won a couple times on the PGA Tour. He was contending here this week. We just heard from him saying, you know, he clearly admitted that it was a learning process. You realize what it feels like to be in that position, and so he did. I think he has so much to be proud of.
Oh, absolutely, the way he conducted himself. But he won his first PGA Tour event and his 23rd start. You know, how many majors has he played? A season?
Right.
Has he played 4 majors and he's now contending to win? So this young man, and the way he played, he had a smile on his face. He looks good. He plays at a reasonable pace. I think the game of golf is lucky that we've got Xander coming on the big stage now.
Kevin Kisner was up there for 3 days, guys, wasn't he? Since round one, he was up there. Round two, he's up the share of the lead going into round three. He had a 2-shot lead at one point on Friday as well, when he had it to 8 under par. What do you think he's going to feel about what happened today?
Well, again, just like we're talking about with Xander, Kevin Kisner just had his best finish ever in a major championship. I do think there's an accounting that everybody makes when they're engaged in anything that's important. They're going to step away from it and they're going to say, what could I have done differently? But for all these players, part of their competitive armor is the belief that they did the best they could and that they're on the ascent. They don't dwell on what they could have done otherwise. And the thing that he has to celebrate is the fact that he just finished 2nd in the Open.
It's his best ever major finish.
Best ever major finish at Carnoustie. He's got a lot to celebrate, too.
Well, it was almost a remarkable comeback from Justin Rose, who, if you remember, only just made the cut on Friday. Finished on the mark thanks to a birdie at the closing hole. But at one stage, remarkably, he was the clubhouse leader here on Sunday. The Englishman birdieing that treacherous 18th for the 4th time this week.
Oh, unbelievable. I never saw that as a birdie hole. You know, that's a hole you respect. And today there was a decision to be made. I feel like I could have hit many clubs off the tee there at 18, but I felt like 3-wood was going to run into the bunkers anyway, so I figured may as well take driver. And I didn't think I'd reach the burn. You know, the course had slowed up just a hair from practice, so, you know, there were reports of guys hitting into the burn, but I really didn't feel like that was possible. So I knew the further I got down there, even if I was in the rough, the easier the shot became.
So that finish of tied 2nd for Justin Rose, his best finish since we first saw him at a major championship, when he won the silver medal at Birkdale 20 years ago. That's his 18th top 10 in 23 tournaments. It's a remarkable run of consistency. And he's so nearly wasn't even here for the weekend.
That's right. I mean, even the first round, the resilience that he had over those last five holes, he double bogeyed number 14, which was almost like a triple bogey, really, to go over par. But he managed to keep going in the worst of the weather on that first day, and he played one under par from there. Like you say, he had to birdie the 36th hole to be here and to play the way he's done over the weekend. Absolute resilience from a very, very classy man.
Yeah, a few players finishing in a tie for sixth. We're obviously going to talk about Tiger Woods, Kevin Chappell there, and Eddie Pepperell as well, who shot the round of the day. What a couple of weeks for him. Second last week at the Scottish Open. I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek, but his press conference, he said he was a bit hungover going out there today. Whatever, it worked. And for 1 minute, you wondered whether five under par, that the target that he set at 3:30 in the afternoon, might even be enough with the wind blowing.
True.
As it was at, 25 to 30 miles an hour. Kevin Chappell finishing in that group for tie for six. But we've got to talk, obviously, about the Tiger Woods story. For a while, it looked like it was going to be a fairy tale day at Carnoustie.
Yeah, he was 2 under through the first 10 holes today. And when he took sole possession of the lead, and maybe this is the way we are as golf fans, all of a sudden we thought that Tiger, this way I was feeling and thinking, was that Tiger was going to become the Tiger of old, and he was going to grab the tournament by the throat, and that was the way that it was going to go. I didn't see I could only hear it just like everybody else, what happened at 11, but when you made the double bogey at 11, that's as Ron Jones told us, who called it today with Tiger, I guess that was really where he felt like it was the undoing.
Yeah, because if you looked at those final pairs, the last 10 pairs, no one was under par for the day apart from Tiger Woods, who'd started 5 under, 4 shots back. Suddenly he was in the lead on his own. It was incredible. Didn't quite, as you say, have the back nine required. And for the 14-time major winner Tiger Woods, it was a case of left wondering what might have been.
Made a couple mistakes there that ended up costing me a chance of winning this championship. Starting out the day, I thought that, you know, with three guys at nine, you know, I saw Jason Day was 4 under playing the last when I went out. Brooksy played a couple under rough par round today, and I figured, you know what, I probably have to go get to nine. And I figured, you know, one of those three guys is going to play well, shoot even par or even under par today. And I thought that was going to be the number today, and I just didn't do it. I had a chance on that back nine, and unfortunately I just made some bad mistakes there and ended up costing me a chance to win the championship.
But let's put it into context here. This time last year, Tiger Woods was outside the top 1,000 in the world rankings last July. Mm. Now he's gone, with the finish he's had, Paul Ilves, to 50th in the world ranking. His comeback has been extraordinary. I mean, he shouldn't be playing this kind of golf after the operations he's had.
It is an amazing return, and aren't we all lucky that he's here with us? He brings so much to the party, so much to the game of golf, and for him to get so close to winning again, that's going to do him the world of good, because building up that confidence again in himself. I wonder whether he looks back on the first couple of rounds where we felt that he might have been a little bit negative off the tee. And
he was on the worst side of the draw, though, if there was a worst side.
Irrespective. That was his mindset. I think he was going to play the irons off the tee and leave himself well back. You know, when it came down to it, had he left himself too much to do? I don't know. Maybe he'll reflect on that. How can you second guess what Tiger Woods would do? But the contrast with Rory, who went out from round one to, you know, bomb things down there and have a go, where Tiger played his way in. But having said that, what a great championship for
him.
You know,
the facts underscore your emotions, Richard. It's been 3,688 days coming into today since he won his last major championship, the 2008 U.S. Open. It's been since the 2013 Bridgestone Invitational since he won for the last time anywhere in the world. So when you come, and that's what, 1,813 days since that. So I can understand why we were so excited for all those reasons that you were expressing, because I think that most people, no matter how ardent a Tiger fan that they were, it was only at the President's Cup where he told the world, I don't know if I'm going to play competitively again. We thought that maybe the career of Tiger Woods was undone by the injuries, and here he was in the mix.
And for some young fans, a first chance, like his kids, to see him in contention at a major championship, because it had been a while. Great to have Tiger Woods back amongst the front runners in world golf. No one moves the needle, do they, like Tiger Woods? I mentioned Eddie Pepperell, who was the surprise early leader in the clubhouse. He was asked afterwards how he found playing in the tough Sunday conditions.
Stressful, but enjoyable playing with Phil Mickelson. It was a real treat. It was that was the silver lining for me, having had a bad finish yesterday. To be seen that I was playing with him was gave me something to at least look forward to, I felt, today. And after being 3 under through six, it became clear that I have an opportunity to at least put a good score together, and winning probably was never in my mind. Just really posting a score, and I've posted, I guess, a reasonable one.
Yeah, a reasonable one. Yeah. You could say that, Eddie. Congratulations to him. Fantastic couple of weeks. Tied for ninth at the mark of four under par. The group of Matt Kuchar, Tony Finau and Jordan Spieth. Spieth is the man I want to talk about out of that trio because, Paul, we had, I think, if you'd have asked 100 people here, did a survey, I think the majority would have said their man who was going to lift the claret jug at the end of this Sunday, given where he was on the leaderboard, would be Jordan Spieth. He couldn't deliver today.
No, I think there's always a little doubt about his putting. He increasingly was taking more and more time over what we would have thought were was a tap-in from a foot to 18 inches. There are some scars there, I'm sure. It wasn't meant to be for him. He had that bad patch in the middle, couldn't make anything, couldn't hit it close enough. The harder he tried, the harder it seemed to get for him. Not his year, but what a great defence he had.
Yeah, surprising. No birdies on the card today for last year's Open champion. Tied 12th on three under par, the likes of Patrick Cantlay, Webb Simpson, Tommy Fleetwood, Ryan Moore and Torbjörn Olesen. Tommy Fleetwood, I suppose, the disappointment. Birdied the first, got himself to six under par and then went on that run. Bogey at five, double bogey seven at six, where he went out of bounds with his second shot, and then another drop shot at the very next hole. And it was always going to be, despite whatever he could do on the back nine, so hard for him to come back from that.
Yeah, I think what was happening was that Tommy was one of those players that had to be aggressive, and someone that was going to be aggressive was going to be rewarded for it, and someone was going to get a bounce that they couldn't get on the other side of. So Tommy has plenty of room, and Tommy's got a game, and his ball striking is so good that he'll have plenty of other opportunities as well. So I like the fact that it was a glimpse, I think, of players that are on the edge of emerging. Even Thorbjörn Olesen, I thought that he played well enough that it caused people to go, you know what, he really is a good player, and he's someone we have to keep an eye on.
And I'm sure Thomas Bjorn is looking at Thunderbear as a potential, maybe even Ryder Cup. It depends on who emerges in that team and how many picks he's got free, as in will Stenson need to be picked, etc., those kind of guys. But that's something to speculate, I think, a little later on than where we are right now, looking back at this Open Championship. Just to round up the top 20, Zach Johnson, Jason Day, Pat Perez, Adam Scott, Erik van Rooyen, who was up there for a long time, Charlie Hoffman and Alex Noren, all finishing in a share of 17th on two under par. But I think got to look at the man who finished at one under par and just outside that top 20 alongside Danny Willett and Phil Mickelson. The name, Paul Eales, of Bernard Langer, who you're going to have to take on at the British Senior Open at St Andrews next week. What a performance from the 60-year-old.
Yeah, no surprise. One of the fittest guys still out there. His work rate, his work regime would have matched anybody of the youngsters that were playing here this week. Phenomenal appetite to play the game and to win championships. We're all saying what a great performance. I'm sure Bernard's going away and he's looking at it going, well, if I'd have done this and I can do this better and I can do that. He'll be at St Andrews tomorrow working hard for a Thursday start in the Senior British Open. He is a unique individual. He really is.
Well, yeah, just to give you an idea, I think it's something like only seven of the players that made the cut were born when Bernard Langer made his Open Championship debut in the 1970s. There's the perspective. And he's finished in the top 25 here this week. Fantastic performance from Bernhard Langer. Some of the other notable names, level par, Thomas Peters, Patrick Reed, Ricky Fowler and Louis Oosthuizen. And some other players that didn't quite get there where they wanted to. Henrik Stenson and Brooks Koepka finishing one and over and two over par respectively. And of course, we have to remember, looking back on Friday, that the world number one and two players, as they were going into the week, Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson, didn't even make the halfway cut. I don't know, Ricky Fowler at the halfway stage looking good. Many people thought he would flourish in these conditions. That eight at the sixth yesterday on Saturday, I think that was the blow, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it happens. This is a links golf course, and you're going to get good bounces and you're going to get bad bounces. I understand that Ricky is such a popular player that people desperately want him to break through. I don't know whether he's officially the best without a major. I don't even know how they do those kind of surveys or who would talk about it, but his name would probably come up.
He's up there, isn't he?
Yes. Well, he'd probably be the name most people would say because he's the most popular, but he's won four times on the PGA Tour. I'm waiting for Ricky to really break through. I'm waiting for him to close, but the fact that he didn't get it done at an Open on a Lynx golf course, again, you're talking about draws, you're talking about circumstance, you're talking about it could be a quirky bounce. So this one I don't see as a particular mark of you know, moving backwards in any way, but I do recognize that, yes, many, many people wanted to see him win.
Yeah, disappointing weekend in the end for Xander Lombard as well, who had a final round of 82 on Sunday in Scotland. But it's all about the champions and the winners. We've talked already about, of course, the achievements of Francesco Molinari, but what about the man, or the boy at 19, who won the silver medal? We all knew that Scotland's Sam Locke had secured the silver medal as the lowest scoring amateur because he was the only amateur to make the cut. The 19-year-old struggled, it's fair to say, in the tough conditions, but enjoyed rapturous applause as he walked up the 18th.
It was amazing to have, especially having my dad there too. He deserves to have, you know, that sort of recognition. Like, you know,
he was carrying your bag.
Yeah, yeah. He's been my coach my whole life, obviously, as well. So I think for him it was nice, but for me, obviously, as well, it was something I will never forget. And to have all the support was really nice, and I really appreciate it.
Wonderful story, isn't it?
Brilliant.
Paul?
Absolutely brilliant. Working at Paul Laurie's Golf Academy and being around Paul Laurie and the atmosphere and environment that he would create. So he's learned a lot there. And it was how nice of him just to give that respect to his father, who could share in that glory. What a great performance. He didn't look as though he was out of place there. Only at 19 years of age. Who knows what's going to happen for him going forward. The memories will stay with him forever for sure. But hopefully he can just continue on his pathway and make the tour and become a champion.
When he was walking up 18 and finishing his round, and he was being so warmly received by the gallery, and rightfully so, the one thought that was going through my mind is, this is an experience so unique, but it's an experience that in its intensity can never be forgotten. To watch that happen, I just think it was incredible, and it speaks not only to his maturity and his poise and his family, but it speaks to the greatness of the game as well.
Now, just try and give me your overall thoughts on this 147th Open Champion. It's difficult. So many different stories emerge, Paul. Let's start with you, maybe.
Well, I mean, I think the first thing you've got to say is that the RNA wanted to create a golf course and a stage for the world's best golfing performers to perform. They did that. So congratulations, number one. For Francesco Molinari and for the European Tour, for him to come through to win in the manner that he did without all the pyrotechnics of a Dustin Johnson or a Rory McIlroy, gives another perspective on the game. Hard work, absolutely brilliant week.
Yeah, Lynx golf is about solving the riddle. And, you know, I say this often because I honestly believe it. Golf writes its own story. And the story that was written this week was about someone that was steady and someone that was true to who they are and who their game is. And we saw them emerge as a major champion here at Carnoustie. I thought in every way it was so incredibly entertaining. And deep and warm congratulations to Francesco Molinari for getting it done.
Okay, so let's look back at last week's predictions. Of course, we're having this presenter against co-presenter head-to-head, and there was a bit of movement on our leaderboard, and we allowed a European pick and an American pick as well. Remind you, 20 points for the winner, 10 for a top 5, and 5 for a top 20. A miscut, that's minus 5 points. Now, Dan Roebuck, who was in my chair as presenter, went for Rory McIlroy, not bad, tie second, and Dustin Johnson, the world number one, who missed the cut. So 10 points for Rory's tied second, and minus 5 points for Dustin Johnson's lack of weekend action. So just 5 points from Dan. But Kim Thomas, who was a co-presenter, wow, what a performance from him. He went for the man, Francesco Molinari. So a winner's 20 points. And he also got Ricky Fowler, who finished tied 28th at even par. So no points for that. But 20 points to Dan's 5 means it's narrowed up. Our presenters are on 100. Our co-presenters are on 80. But the gap might get bigger again as I'm in the hot seat this week. Our picks are still to come. So after the Open Championship finish, Ilse, how does the top 10 on the Race to Dubai look?
It looks like this, Rich. In 10th place is Tyrrell Hatton. In 9th, Ryan Fox. 8th is John Rahm. 7th is Torbjörn Olesen. 6th, Russell Knox. 5th, Rory McIlroy. 4th, Tommy Fleetwood. 3rd, Alex Norén. 2nd is Patrick Reed. And our leader at the moment is Francesco Molinari.
And how about the Ryder Cup rankings, please, Paul?
So the European list, we've got number 1, Francesco Molinari. 2 is Justin Rose. 3 is Tyrrell Hatton. 4 is Tommy Fleetwood. And from the world rankings, number 1 would be John Rahm, then Alex Norén, Rory McIlroy and Paul Casey. They're your 8 players in the European Ryder Cup team so far.
OK, just one other news line to bring you. Congratulations to Richard McAvoy, who secured a wire-to-wire victory at Le Vaudreuil Golf Challenge on the Challenge Tour. And Paul, if you can now give us the top 10 in the world rankings, please.
OK, top 10 in the world rankings. Number 10 is Jason Day. Number 9, Ricky Fowler. 8 is Jordan Spieth. 7 is Rory McIlroy. 6th is Francesco Molinari. 5th is John Rahm. 4th is Brooks Koepka, 3rd is Justin Thomas, 2nd, Justin Rose, and number 1 in the world is Dustin Johnson.
So on to this week's event now, and like last year, we head to mainland Europe following the Open Championship for the 40th edition of the Porsche European Open. Jordan Smith returning to defend the title he won at Green Eagle Golf Course near Hamburg. Last year, Paul, it was a bit of a battle in the end between himself and Alex Levy. Levy missed a short putt, didn't he, in the playoff, which could have won it for him. And Smith came through and a massive victory for him.
It was a huge victory and well played as well, because it's a long golf course, a demanding golf course, and a very, very tiring week. So fitness levels are of a premium this coming week.
7,831 yards, Matt Adams. It is a par 73, but of course it goes down as one of the longest courses in Europe. So, I mean, we all know what should favour the golfers here. Anyone that can hit the ball a fair distance should come out on top. Although, if I remember right, last year, Sidiker, who's one of the shortest hitters in the world in terms of professional golf, he was challenging for the lead and I think finished top 10.
Because the putter is the great equaliser.
Yeah, absolutely. So that gives a bit. There have been some renovation work that's been completed ahead of the tournament, heading to Hamburg for the renewal in 2017. They changed some of the greens. There's water features there on 17 holes. So obviously that's something to watch out for. So you can pick out some players. I think you've got the list, Paul, of who's playing this week.
We've got Masters champion Patrick Reed alongside Bryson DeChambeau and Pat Perez heading over from Carnoustie. Few of the European winners, Alex Levy, Lucas Beauregard, Romain Wattel, Renato Paratore, Eduardo Molinari trying to do what his brother's done this week, and Adrian Ortegi will be playing alongside Scott Henn. So some big names there.
Yeah, Matt, it's interesting. The American players obviously staying out here, the likes of the Masters champion. They're going to feel confident. It's maybe a kind of golf course where they'll feel comfortable as well, but very different from what they faced at Carnoustie.
Yeah, but actually more like what they're used to playing. A long golf course that's going to be soft. It's an aerial game much more on the PGA Tour. So I think it's great that they're taking the time to do it. I hope that they have the energy to carry themselves through it, because, you know, a major championship is a big week. But I expect that they're going to play well. They're over here. They're adjusted to the time. Why not?
Yeah, and there any other players we should watch out for, Paul?
Well, Paul Casey's in the field for a start off. That's not too bad. Sam Horsfield, who won the qualifying school, he's playing, and Connor Symer, young Scot, who's been playing really well recently.
Okay, the important part now, prediction time.
Here we go.
Who wants to go first with this one, Matt? It seems you're guest from the United States.
Can we pick the same player, just so I know of?
Well,
so I think Yulzy was looking at my sheet.
You take first dibs.
All right. I'm going for Patrick Reed. You got the Masters champion in the field.
Sure.
On the PGA Tour, he's 7th in FedEx Cup points, which means he's continuing to perform. He likes to travel. He loves to take his game on the road, and so I think he's going to be aggressive.
Okay, and who's your other man?
Jamie Donaldson.
Okay.
Jamie, I know he's been dealing with injuries. He had a pull out of one of the pro-am events recently on the European Tour. I think it was the Irish Open because he was just in too much pain. But I think that Jamie Donaldson is going to watch his friend having won the Open Championship, and I think it's going to be an inspiration for him. He's been starting to play a little bit better, have a little bit form. So I just have a funny feeling that Jamie Donaldson's going to come back up in the winner's circle again.
Okay, so Jamie Donaldson and Patrick Reed for Matt. Paul?
I'm going Paul Casey.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that.
Big hitting Paul. Yeah, he's ready for a good week, I'm sure. And Connor Syme, who I mentioned before.
Lovely. Now, I'm going Australian all the way here. Mm-hmm. Man that's been in form. I know he's been in Scotland having a little bit of practice ahead of going across to Germany. Played very well at Gullen, was up there in the final groups heading into the final round, and is just getting back to the kind of form he was at a few years prior. I'm going for Scott Hend. Obviously, with the course being 7,800 yards,
yeah, a
big
pick.
Hitter. And I'm going for a man who has similar ability off the tee, who just made the cut for the first time at a major championship, hopefully inspired by spending the week, had a practice round with the likes of Tiger Woods. So how good has the week been at Carnoustie for Lucas Herbert? And I think he's a young man who's got an invite to the tournament. He's and he got into the field late. So I'm going to go with a couple of outsiders there in Scott Hend and Lucas Herbert. And of course, before we go, Paul, you're off to St Andrews to play in the Senior British Open. Going to give us a pick from that, apart from
Oh, you got to pick yourself.
Apart from Bernard Lange, you mean?
No, apart from Paul Eales, I mean.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm in the field. I'll be there on Thursday. If I finish a couple of shots behind Bernard, I'll be delighted. But looking for Paul Broadhurst. I know he shot low in an Open Championship before. He's playing nicely on the PGA Champions Tour. So I'm going to go for Brody.
Well, that's all we have time for now. Congratulations once again to Francesco Molinari. Next week, we'll look back on the Porsche European Open and ahead to the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Matt Adams.
Bye.
And from Paul Eales.
Good golfing.
And myself, Richard Kaufman. It's goodbye.